Charles Howard Bury was a man of many talents. A veteran of the First World War, his leadership of the British reconnaissance mission to Mount Everest in 1921 earned him international acclaim. Fluent in multiple languages, with a deep interest in horticulture, he was the owner of Belvedere House and Gardens near Mullingar, County Westmeath, a house he shared with his partner Rex Beaumont, an English actor. Their life together can be traced through the files and photographs of Charles Howard Bury's personal papers, stored in the archives of Mullingar Library. Recently, while historian in residence in Westmeath County Council, Ian Kennelly had the opportunity to study those files. In this report, he finds out about their relationship and explores the final years of Belvedere House before it passed into public ownership.
They met probably around 1940 during the war. Howard Bury was Deputy Commissioner of the British Red Cross. He had a house in London anyway, going back to his parliamentary career in the 1920s. Rex was working as an actor. He was in Stratford-on-Avon, but he was also in London. So that seems to have been when they met. And after the war, he came to live in Belvedere.
Ruth Illingworth is a historian, author and tour guide based in Mullingar. She knew Rex Beaumont and has uncovered many details about his life.
He changed his name because that's actually listed in, I think, the London Gazette that he formally changed his name to Rex Bart Beaumont. He had been Michael Bowman before that, a minor son from Bishop Auckland in Durham.
Did he change that to make himself seem more grand or to have a more affluent background?
I think possibly to make himself a little bit more grand. I said he was an actor by training, but his whole life really was a performance.
And much of that performance was played out in Belvedere House, which, around 1946, became the shared home of Rex Beaumont and Charles Howard Bury. Root describes the history of that remarkable estate.
It was built around 1740, designed by Richard Castles, built for the Earl of Belvedere, Robert Rochford. Came into the possession of Charles Brinsley Marley in 1850, and it was Brinsley Marley who laid out the gardens and the steps and everything. He was a great art collector, an extraordinarily cultured man whose art collection is now mostly in the Fitzwilliam Museum in Cambridge, which he helped to fund its art galleries. And then he passed it to his cousin Charles Howard Bury in 1912. One slightly strange thing about Belvedere's history and all that is that, as far as I can see, with the brief exception of Lady Dorothy of Bloomfield, no women ever lived there. It was all entirely a male place, and it was really designed more as a kind of hunting lodge than as a full family house. I think Rex Beaumont and Charles Howard Bury made it a kind of family house in a way it had never been before.
So Rex and Charles Howard Bury were creating a family home. They were a couple. Was that understood at the time locally, or did it only become apparent in more recent years?
I think it was understood. There were a few people who thought that, in fact, at the beginning, that Rex was the colonel's son, because there was quite a big age gap between them. Rex was born in 1914, so he was 30 years younger than the colonel. But I think most people understood quite quickly the nature of their partnership. And it seems to have been generally accepted. There was a kind of feeling, well, you know, they're entitled to their own lives, and they weren't doing any harm to anybody, and so they were very generous to local charities.
To learn more, I spoke with historian Dr. Jonathan Westaway from the University of Central Lancashire. Jonathan, who has studied the lives of many Everest explorers, is currently preparing a research paper on Charles Howard Bury and the so-called Big House. I asked Jonathan if Howard Bury's great wealth effectively insulated him and Rex from the wider social attitudes of the time, given that homosexuality was then still criminalised in both Ireland and the UK.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the point I'm going to try and make in the paper is, can you see the Irish big house as a colonial space, which is transnational to some extent? It's a shared space with colonial North Africa or French Indochina or British India, in a sense that if you have a ruling elite, they can pretty much be above the law to some extent. They can insulate themselves. They operate to different values.
Charles Albury was certainly a member of that elite. Not only was he famous for his explorations, but he also had a political career in Britain during the 1920s as a Conservative Party MP. However, in 1931, Hardbury inherited another Irish estate, that of Charleville Castle near Tullamore, and he decided to bring his political life to a conclusion. Subsequently, as the photos in the Mullingar Library demonstrate, he lived a life of global travel funded by his immense inherited wealth. Jonathan Westaway describes one small, although typical, example.
I mean, some of the photographs, there's a photograph in there of a flying boat, and it's a short S-19 Kent-class flying boat. There were only three of them made, and they were made between 1933 and 1936. Only the super wealthy could ever afford to go on those planes. And the photograph, I'm pretty sure, is of it in Sea of Tiberias in Gaza. It's an absolute indicator. It indicates just how wealthy and privileged he was. Everybody else went out to India on a boat through the Suez Canal. It took you 2 to 3 weeks. But the super rich got out to India, and government officials got out to India, or top level, in the Indian Civil Service, on these flying boats and on the big de Havilland biplanes as well.
After the Second World War, Charles Hardbury and Rex Beaumont would travel together all over the globe, but one location became special to both of them, a villa in Tunisia that is the subject of hundreds of photos in the Mullingar archives. Root describes what was, in effect, their second home.
Yes, the colonel had a villa in Tunisia, which I think he got during the war. He was based in North Africa with the Red Cross for much of the war in Cairo, but also in Tunisia, which at that time was a French colony. It was in the town of Hammamet, and the villa was known as Dar el Oud, and had these absolutely beautiful gardens, because one of the things that Hardbury and Rex had a shared passion for was flowers. The gardens were a riot of colour, and they had a swimming pool. And they entertained all the great and good, including the man who became Tunisia's first president, President Bourguiba, and also leading British military figures, Field Marshal Montgomery, Field Marshal Auchinleck. Winston Churchill seems to have spent time there. In fact, he worked on his memoirs while he was visiting there. Explorers like Dame Freya Stark and the French novelist André Malraux, he was another visitor. He and Howard Bury were kind of exchanging old photographs and memories of visits to what was then Indochina, Vietnam, Cambodia before the First World War. So this spent quite a large part of the year there, particularly the winter months.
The villa in Tunisia was, as the photos in the Mullingar archives suggest, a place in which Charles Hardbury and Rex Beaumont could live openly as gay men. I spoke again with Jonathan Westaway and asked if their experiences were shared elsewhere in North Africa by other wealthy members of the British elite, or if they were a rare example.
No, it's very common. So there's a historian called Robert Aldrich who writes about the role of Francophone colonial North Africa as a place of refuge and aspiration for gay men in Europe, because in France, the French Republic, 1791, decriminalised homosexuality, and therefore it was decriminalised in the French colonies as well.
As the 1950s came to a close, the couple appear to have cut back on their international travel, although they remained active and prominent figures in Mullingar. A public event was held there in 1961 to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Hardbury's 1921 mission to Mount Everest, to be followed a year later by another event to commemorate 50 years since he inherited Belvedere House. By then, however, Charles Hardbury was an increasingly frail figure. Root again takes up the story.
Charles Hardbury died in September 1963, and he's buried in the Charleville family vault in Tullamore. He left the house and gardens to Rex, and Rex continued to live at Belvedere for nearly another 16, 17 years with his horses and his dogs. and continued to throw parties, including, I think, an annual dinner for the clergy of Mullingar. And my Aunt May said he did a book of poetry, Me, Myself and I, and she did the illustrations for that. And he did a rather fascinating television documentary for BBC Northern Ireland with Frank Delaney, Vivat Rex. But his health was deteriorating and his financial situation was deteriorating as well. I think he may have kind of been living beyond his means for quite a number of years. And as I said, his very generous donations to local charities. And by the end of the 70s, he really was unable to stay there. The upkeep of the place was too much.
Given those circumstances, Beaumont was forced to hold a major auction in which Belvedere's contents were sold off. The house, as Ruth explains, would quickly follow.
And he left Belvedere, I think it was 1981. He did the agreement with the County Council. The County Council acquired Belvedere and he moved to a bungalow just outside Mullingar near Broughtonstown. And he lived on there for several more years. He was quite lonely, I think, and his health wasn't good. And then he managed to reach an agreement with the council allowing him to return to live in Belvedere because he really only needed one or two rooms, a bedroom and a sitting room and that. And it was while he was back at Belvedere that he suffered a fatal heart attack in October 1988. And he died in the local hospital and is buried in Ballyglass.
Rex's funeral was, by all accounts, a lively affair as friends bade farewell to a vibrant presence in their lives. His death marked the end of an era for Belvedere House, and we hear from Ruth once more as she brings its story up to the present day.
For a number of years, not very much went on there. I mean, you could go in, you could walk around, you had a look around the house, but then they did kind of a major overhaul, refurbished the building, and formally opened it as one of the county's major tourist attractions, with, I think, a formal opening by President McAleese around 2000. And they have looked after it quite well. And in recent years have done up new information boards that focus more on Charles Howard Bury and on Rex than perhaps was previously the case.
Such efforts ensure that Belvedere House will be forever associated with Charles Howard Bury and Rex Beaumont. Yet Belvedere also has a new life. Since passing into the ownership of Westmeath County Council, the house and its extensive and lavish gardens have become a beloved public space for families, individuals and tourists. It has become part of the local community, a development that ensures its story will continue.
That was Ian Kennedy reporting there. He was speaking to Ruth Illingworth about Belvedere House near Mullingar and the lives of Charles Howard Bury and his partner Rex Beaumont. After the break, we'll be looking at the beginning of the Irish court system 100 years ago.